Last week, as I spoke to you on the subject, this is your day. I had many, many people come and talk to me about their desire to truly make it their day. And the impact of God speaking to them was so great, they did not want it to be lost or forgotten. I've had a large number. I've had them talk to me on the telephone, had them come to the office, speak to me here in the church services, that since God is this concerned, and since He has chosen me, chosen us for this special time, to fit into His plan and to be a part of what He is doing, we want to open up. We want to be. We want to fill that spot that God has for us. I made reference to these men in the Philippine Islands that God directed to me, and the message that was brought to me by an angel, that every person that would speak with me while I was there and those that I would minister to would be especially selected by God to hear this message and prepare themselves. And as you remember, in speaking to those that came to me by chance, seemingly, though they were high government officials, though they were men in very, very important positions, many of them, as I told them, you have been selected by God for a very special time and a special work. And your skills, your capabilities are being called in by the one who gave them to you and is saying, practice time is over. Bring me those talents I gave to you, that through you I might use them for my glory. This did not mean the taking of that person out of what they were doing, but rather the using of that person in the place where they were. Praise God. Satan does not have music as such. He does not have talent as such. The only thing that Satan has is what those who belong to him have. Satan can use what those who have given themselves to him possess. But by the same token, God will use those things that those who have given themselves to him possess. And in the position that you find yourself, God has directed you there by his Spirit. If you're a school teacher, you're there. God says, use those skills, those talents. Now, for me, you're in a spot that no one else can fill. If you're a businessman, you are in a spot that God has directed you in. You're there, and a light has been turned on. You've been especially selected for this moment, for this hour. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when this truth gets through, as it really grips you, it does something for you. As you say, God, here I am. What I have is yours. I saw these men. I saw men in very, very high government office reaching out their hands and saying, Lord, here I am. What I have is yours. I explained to these men that all of the training that they've had down through the years, long before they knew him, was God directing them and preparing them for this moment. But we today are here. And it's a beautiful day of a privilege. It is a day of accountability. Our gifts and our talents brought to him. Our skills reach their highest purpose in this day. You have been selected by God for this moment. Praise God. Those skills will reach their highest purpose. It's their highest meaning now, because you brought yourself to God. And when he has you, he has what you have. Praise God. These skills are His because you are His. For this day of special visitation, He asks that you be led by Him, that you be used by Him, that you have the privilege of being accompanied by Him, that He has made provision that you be like Him. Praise God. Made like Him in your nature and in the work that you're doing. My message this morning was to be on the Holy Spirit in you. But this area is going to be very limited because I feel so definitely the Lord placing this challenge upon my heart. It's not something that we can give to occupy an hour on a Sunday, move to something else. I believe it's something that has meaning and it can become a part of every day of our lives. It's not something that we hear and we move away from to something else. When God has made a statement, when God has laid a plan, that plan is fulfilled and goes into action. Praise God. But in this challenge, yielding ourselves to God, we cannot be what He wants us to be without His help, His power. So a long time ago, before God ever made the earth, God laid a plan where you could do the thing that God wanted you to do. And that was by the help of His Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of different ideas out in the world today as to what this charismatic movement is, what it represents. There are some people feel that the only thing about it, the only thing they know about it, is that people speak in tongues. A lot of charismatic people don't know anything more than that. They feel, well, this is it. It's the speaking in tongues. Oh, it's much more than that. It's the fulfillment of a promise that God made. That Jesus received the promise of the Father and gave His Spirit to us. And this was planned before the world was ever made. It was God's concern. One of these Sundays, I'm going to bring you the seven things that are God's top highest priorities. These priorities were brought to me, direct from His heart by Gabriel. Seven priorities. One of these priorities is that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he planned this way, way back before He made the earth. And in speaking to me about this, He said you can find reference to this when God gave Moses the plan for the tabernacle. Well, that tabernacle was actually a little miniature of God's great plan for the whole earth. He said it was taken from a pattern in heaven given to Moses. Well, there were some feasts that Israel was asked to observe, and each of these seven feasts referred to and symbolized these seven priorities that God has. Well, one of these was the Feast of Pentecost. And it was something so important to God. It followed 50 days after Passover, after the Feast of Passover. At the Feast of Passover, there was it was symbolized by separate stalks of wheat that were being waved before the Lord, symbolizing the individual lives of the believers before Pentecost. There they were, these individual Christians. But God said, I'm going to turn these individual Christians into a solid body. I'm going to turn them into a church, a body of believers. So the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, instead of the single stalk of wheat, the wheat was ground in the flour, and it was it was kneaded and made into loaves. Now, on that day, the feast was called the Feast of Pentecost, where the individual believers were all blended into one. And God made it so real on that day of Pentecost, and he had it recorded. They were all with one accord. They were all blended together. All those individual disciples that were each of them going their own way. Now, they were all blended together. His body. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, though God asks that he cannot stand sin. He cannot look upon sin. God has made a covering for us. His perfect Son, Jesus, the very word atonement means covering. And he has covered us with that atonement. But so that we could see, and his church, his believers, would be able to know when they look at themselves and see some things that aren't perfect. They look at others and see some things that aren't perfect. They will not be discouraged and say, I guess God didn't do his job. You know what God told them to do so that it would be a true picture? God wants us to know that in ourselves we're undone. There's a lot of weakness. There's a lot of imperfection. And we cannot be accepted on the basis of how good we are. Though his plan is that we, and his Spirit has been given us to help us be like Jesus, we can never be accepted on the basis of how good we are. We have to be accepted on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And he's covered us. So, in showing this symbolically, how important it was, he said to Moses, take some leaven, which is a type of sin now, and mix the leaven in this bread. And this bread is a type of the church. There's some things that may not be perfect, but the atonement is covering them, and they're accepted in the atonement. But he said, when they come to me for fellowship as an individual, he said, at the table of showbread, there was absolutely no leaven in that bread. He said, when I sit there and I look at them and I talk with them and their lives are covered, it's all gone. Hallelujah. You see, the coming of the Holy Spirit was not something just to give us a good time. There were two things, and I want you to mark this down in your mind or in your paper. There were two purposes that God had, and people have it reversed. We're going to put it in the proper order today. The first purpose was to give you power to be. Power to be like Jesus. And your spirit. God wants us like Jesus. He sees us like Jesus. He wants the world to see us like Jesus. So he said, if you're going to look like Jesus, you can't look like him if you don't have his nature, his spirit. So I want you to have the spirit of Jesus in you. So on that day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was outpoured, it was not the dynamic things that they were doing that stirred up Jerusalem. You know what it was? Satan thought that he had put Jesus to death. His followers thought that Jesus had been put to death. But God says, I'm going to give this nature, this spirit, the same spirit that motivated and made Jesus what he was, I'm going to give that same spirit to all of the people that follow him. And so on that day, that spirit was given, and the world didn't know what in the world to think. They didn't know what happened. They said, here, we put him to death. We put Jesus to death. He gave us so much trouble, just one person. And now here we find Jesus is walking all over the place. People that have his spirit within them, they're all over the place. And I thought Mike made some very terrific statements this morning when he talked about God wanting to produce the likeness of his own likeness in us. Well, that can only be produced when we have his spirit. You can try and put on the same kind of a grin. You can get a little cosmetics done, and so you can have maybe the same kind of features. You can act certain ways. You can even learn how to make certain sounds, like as if you were speaking in another language. But unless you have the Spirit of Jesus, You will not be like this.
He's given us his Spirit. Hallelujah.
So the first thing is, the reason for the coming of the Holy Spirit was to give us power to be like Jesus. The second purpose was giving us power to do. And that is power to help to accomplish the things that Jesus accomplished in the alleviating the needs, the hurts, the cares of people. Do you know that the manifestations, the ministries of the Holy Spirit were never given just to be signs for people? The Lord would never perform a sign just to show people a sign. You know why he performed those miracles? It was because somebody was hurting. Somebody had a need. And he said, Jesus cared about people, and he wanted to alleviate the need. Praise God. And God is still doing that today. He said, where people are hurting, that's where I live. And I want to lift those burdens. And I have some people that I have poured of the Spirit of Jesus into. So remember this. The first thing, you can never do like Jesus. Have that power to do. And it will never really work until you recognize the power to be. That's called the fruit of the Spirit, the likeness of Jesus in your life. Praise God. Do you believe what I'm telling you? This is the fruit. Go out with that Spirit of Jesus. Let the world see Jesus in you. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. The world needs Jesus more than anything else in this life. They need Jesus more than food, more than clothing, more than peace, more than anything. Because he becomes to them all that they need. Jesus. All we need is in Jesus. Praise God. So we have been selected by God today. We've been selected to, in whatever position we're in, to be a Jesus. And the world see him through us. Isn't that a beautiful task that God gave you to do? To be like Jesus. I just love some of those choruses like that. To be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. And another song, oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. God wants us to be like Jesus. Praise God forever. Today is Communion Sunday. And one of the ways that we can be like him is to recognize what God has really done for us. One of the other priorities, one of the other of God's priorities that I referred to you, and the one that came first on this list, was God's appreciation of the blood of Jesus Christ. God's recognition, God's feeling toward that blood, it's top priority. Top priority. That we recognize our position in the Lord. And he, in that, he refers to the body of Jesus also in this, as recognized in this communion time. This truth that I brought to you at our last communion service, discerning his body, is not a truth that we brought to fill up a little time on a Sunday morning and then move on to something else, something that would give us a little shot in the arm for that time. It's something that God has promised to recognize forever. And he wants us to be able to recognize it forever. And with that in mind, I'm going to refer to this just briefly before we have our communion time. I'm going to read again words that the voice of the Spirit, the audible voice of the Spirit, gave to me a little over a month ago. I have read these many times, quietly read it in times of devotion, because I know where it came from, the voice of the Spirit in speaking. I want you to hear it again today. Oftentimes, these truths take several hearings to really have the meaning that God intended. The Holy Spirit said, write, preserve the words I have spoken to you. They shall become a light to many. I will not only minister through you, but will accompany these words and give them life wherever sent, even as I have already given wings to my messages brought to you by the angel of the Lord. Fear not to speak in his name, for the words I give are not your words, but his words, and are established forever. Are they not found in his eternal living word? Long closed doors of many peoples and nations will be penetrated by these words of life. I commend the hosts of the Lord who have been sent forth for this hour to hasten the gathering together unto him a people for his name, and to prepare them for that great day of the Lord. They will both precede and follow these words from the Father to make ready the people, to scatter the forces of darkness, and to gently care for the multitudes who will hear. Then I read on the words that he has given concerning communion. Because of the accusations of Satan, because of the daily reminders of sin, of failure, and of human weakness, you often forget what he has done for you. You must be reminded. You must remember. God, in his wisdom, has provided a time and a way for this to be accomplished. It is the purpose of his Holy Communion. A time of reminder of what he has done. Here he asks us to look upon his body, to see your sin and the sins of the world placed on him by God. Every lie, every sin against yourself or others, murder, all adultery, all immorality, all dishonesty, all cheating, all rebellion and idolatry, all enmity through witchcraft and Satanism, yes, everything with which you could be charged is laid on him. He has become sin, bearing the concentrated dregs of the rottenness of billions of people. He points to his body, to your sin, and tells you your sin is already judged. You are free. As you behold him, smitten of God with the searing stroke of his judgment, you see there the canceled sin of the world. Now, with this reminder of your peace with him, you can speed the message to the world that you can come now. You have been accepted, that God's wrath has been turned away. The heart of his plan is the sacrifice of Jesus. He tasted death. See him as the spotless lamb prepared. See him now, the sin bearer, coming before God with filthy garments. See him, stricken of God. See him now as the high priest, sprinkling his blood in heaven, sprinkling the book of the covenant, now fulfilled. All of man's possible failures covered by the blood that speaks to God. See him totally remove the need for pardons by removing the remembrance of sin. Now hallelujah. And today, as we observe once again a communion time, he asked us to discern, see this body that was made sin, and that absorbed the stroke of God's wrath that was directed toward us. He diverted that stroke of judgment and wrath to his own body. Do you remember in that service I emphasized to you the meaning of that burned sacrifice? Something that I found in no commentary, only as this messenger from heaven brought it from God's heart, that God chose that this sacrifice of the Old Testament be burned in order to perfectly symbolize the stroke, the fiery stroke of his judgment upon his perfect sacrifice, Jesus. And so, as that body of that sacrifice, that heifer, was turned to ashes, all of the sins of that Old Testament time that were placed upon that heifer were burned. And as those ashes were held in remembrance, taken and placed in a clean place where they could be recognized as the cleansing and the acceptance, the mark of acceptance of the people that came and put their faith in that sacrifice. So Jesus came. And I want to read just a few verses from Hebrews 10. And with this, we're going to close. We're going to have our communion time. And I know that the Spirit of the Lord is going to be here as you see, not a little piece of bread, but as you see it, see there the ashes. See there the cinders of those sins that the Satan would hold up before you and accuse you of. See there those sins that he would remind you of day after day. There they are, already judged. Nothing but empty sinners. That power to hurt you is destroyed. So God says, he has made a plan where as we observe this time, we can close out the many voices of the world, the accusations of Satan, and we can look again and say, there is the remains of my sin. There they are. There is the remain right there. Praise God. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 4. He's speaking about here what Jesus did. This message that was made so real to me as I saw it, a living panorama, is found right here in these verses. It's forever established in the Word of God. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me.
We're going to discern. We're going to see that body today.
In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. This is Jesus speaking. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. These only cause the sin to be covered for a year at a time. Then remember, it wasn't God's perfect plan, but a picture of his plan. Then here's what Jesus said, verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first.
That's first covenant. That said, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, if you'll do this, I will do this. And man failed so miserably. He was charged with so many things. It's been removed. He takes away the first, that he might establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Praise God. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever
those who are sanctified. What does sanctifying mean? God's meaning of sanctification is the adaption of his life to the human body. Those who have accepted his life, been covered, been made part of his family. Hallelujah. One sacrifice forever. So as you look today, ask God to let you see the burned cinders of sins that have plagued you. As you see them, see not only those things that have been a part of your past, the idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, wrath, all of these things. See not only those things, but there are some things, as you behold, ashes of things that you have not even committed yet. That may happen tomorrow or the next day or the next day, as you may be ensnared in some way. If there's not going to be any other sacrifice, every sin of this old world was laid on him. He became sin for us. In the stroke of God's judgment, it hit it. A man can go out and he can say, I'm not going to take this. I'm going to pay my own, take care of my own death penalty. But God is calling. He said, the news is good. You can come now. You can be accepted. Somebody else took your place. Praise God. Today, as you observe this communion, will you ask God to help you to see what it really means? Seeing his body. When you see his body, you will see your sins are already gone. They're judged. And you can say from your heart, I am free. I have been accepted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would like every person in this congregation right now to close your eyes and to look away to him. Ask God to make this so real to you that when the enemy would come and test you and endeavor to upset you, you can point again to the body. Say, there is Satan. There is where it's at. It's a sinner. It's a sinner. There is nothing left with which I can be charged because my faith is in what Jesus did. Will you close your eyes now, lift both hands toward heaven, and from your heart, I want you in some way to express your appreciation. Give God thanks that He cared this much for you, all over the building, up in the balcony, through the entire building. You may never have lifted your hands before, but this sacrifice was for you today. Let's lift our hands right now, and in Jesus' name, let's give Him thanks. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice that was so complete, so real. Oh, Jesus, we see that our task today is to tell the world that it is done, that the news is good, that God has His arms stretched out toward man. Oh, God, may we see it and be filled with Your Spirit so that we might be able to share it with others. We love You so much. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. I'm going to ask our brethren to come right now. Stand here before us. After this service began, after one of the songs that the choir sung, I felt the promptings of the Holy Spirit to again point you to this observation today, that you might see, you might discern His body. And when you see His body, you're not looking at the magnificence of the resurrected Christ. You're looking at something that was hideous. The sins of the world. But you're looking at the ashes. They cannot hurt you. They can never live. They can never rise to face you in judgment, because there'll never be another sacrifice for sin. Jesus already made it. Hallelujah. 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 Free. This service this morning represents not a story of gloom and a story of doom, but a story of victory and a story of life. Hallelujah. Even while these emblems are being passed, I feel that God would be glorified if He could hear a triumphant shout of victory, the kind the angels use from this congregation. From your heart, would you shout that word, hallelujah, to Him right now, all through the building? Hallelujah. Let's do it again. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're experiencing something. The knowledge is something that the angels could never experience, because they never felt the sting of sin. You felt that sting, and now you feel that release. Oh, hallelujah. Discern. See His body. And as you see it, you will not be a sick Christian, a weak Christian. You will be a strong Christian because of what Jesus has done. I encourage those of you who may never have accepted Christ as yet to partake of this communion. I'd like to have you take of the cup, the bread, and as you hold it in your hand, just send up a little word to the Lord. Father, I'm putting my faith in what You have done, and God is going to be made savage because of what You are doing. Praise God. People who have struggled, wrestled with sin, failure, buffeted by things, that habits and problems that he could not rise above. Honest-hearted believers, when God has allowed them to catch a glimpse of his body. And there they have seen the burned out tenders of these things that they were struggling with. Immediately, God helped them to rise above. And there are people in this congregation who are experiencing victories in their lives that they never dreamed possible because they saw sin as it really was. And hence the burned out cinder. Nothing was which God could charge them with. They were able to shake it off and move it away. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God. Would you carry this message to somebody this week? Let them know that the stroke of God's wrath has been diverted and has fallen upon Jesus. That stroke of wrath was headed for you when your faith placed in what he has done, it has been diverted. Jesus. Okay. Praise God.
So the world I found me enough to live with other women, it's amazing.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the world, who caused to come forth bread of the earth. Take, eat. This is my body broken for you.
And
and And drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for their forgiveness of sin.
I'm going to go to the hospital.